Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here Sundays, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And we also post our talk stories as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today is part two of a discussion about North Hawaii Community Hospital with the CEO of North Hawaii, Cindy Kamakaua, and Art Ushijima, the CEO of Queens Health Systems on Oahu, which owns North Hawaii. Part one aired last week, and you may get that as a podcast. We join part two with a question for Cindy about the emergency department at North Hawaii. Emergency department, tell us what capabilities you have now, and I know you plan expansion, so tell us a little bit about that.
Currently, we have a six-bay emergency room. Unfortunately, about 40% of the time that a patient comes into our emergency room, they may be placed in the hallway to receive their care. We are underbedded for the number of patients that we're seeing. We see over 14,000 patients a year. So we are undertaking an initiative to design and build a new ER that will have 13 beds with two trauma bays, and we'll actually have what we refer to as a split flow system, which means when you come in, if you have a minor injury and maybe need some stitches, you'll go one way into the emergency room where we will staff it differently and have the processes set up so that your length of stay is much shorter than if you came in as a major trauma and needed additional resources.
So are you able to handle stroke, heart attack? What do you do for those kind of traumas?
So stroke, we have telestroke. So we have 24/7 CAT scan. That's the x-ray of your brain to see what type of stroke you have. We can then send it to our physicians at Punch Bowl to see it. And then the physician can actually do a physical exam of the patient through a monitor and see the patient and then decide as far as what the treatment plan is. And during that time period, it's important to determine if the patient is eligible for what we refer to as lytics, the clot buster medication that we can give through an IV. We can also do that for a heart attack patient that will then help clear their arteries.
So basically, somebody would not have to be transported to Oahu if they had a stroke because you can address it.
Yes. If it is the type of stroke that we can address, there is the type of stroke where they're bleeding in their brain, that type of stroke, we would need to medevac over to Oahu.
Is North Hawaii Community Hospital a trauma level 3? Did you guys get that certification?
Yes, we did. We were also, as of January 1st, 2017, it was an exciting time. We were the first hospital on the island to have 24/7 orthopedic coverage. And so we were able to help any of the other hospitals and have that service available to us. And that was with an orthopedic group that is working with us now from Oahu that I worked with at the Punch Bowl campus.
When I asked you initially how many patients you handle, I believe you said about 150 admits per month, but you just said you have 14,000 patients a year. Help us understand the difference between those two.
The two numbers that I was talking about was the number of inpatients, so the numbers of patients that actually come and stay overnight and need the hospital stay, and that's what we refer to as our inpatient census. We admit approximately 150 patients a month. For our ER visits, the majority of those patients are treated and released. Some of them do get admitted, and that's over 14,000 patients a year.
In general, what can be handled at North Hawaii Community Hospital? What would you have to send people to Oahu for? Not just from the emergency department.
The type of patients that would need to go to Oahu would be the complex neurosurgery patients. We do not have a neurosurgeon here on the island. Also cardiovascular, we do not do any invasive cardiac procedures. Those are two of the major service lines. And then also the major traumas would also need to go to Oahu when they needed multiple types of interventions.
In general, do you think our island population, even if it gets to be 300,000, would support the services of a neurosurgeon or a cardiac surgeon. Is that rational, practical? What do you guys think?
Probably not with this volume that's here, because neurosurgeons are very specialized and they need to serve a volume that has enough cases for them to keep up their skills. That's really the challenge for them.
I think most people would feel most comfortable with a surgeon who'd done a whole lot of whatever it is.
That's right. There are certainly certain types and levels of care where you need a sufficient volume, because you need that volume also to support the medical expertise. Mm-hmm. And so a cardiac surgeon will need a certain number of cases to maintain the skills. So you're going to look at service from the standpoint of the demand. You know, there's only one organ transplant center in the state of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Right? So we do that right now. And that's about 80 organ transplants a year, which is considered about a medium-sized program. But if it were substantially less, we couldn't support that, because from a standpoint of maintaining competence and skills, but also the economics, makes it very difficult.
What does North Hawaii Community Hospital do about Kaiser patients who come in, since typically Kaiser likes to handle things in their own way?
We do care for Kaiser patients. They can come into our emergency room. Our emergency physicians or our hospitalists will communicate with their physician. We do admit them into our organization.
You are expanding the emergency department. Mm-hmm. What's the schedule? What's the cost? How's it being paid for?
We're in our final construction drawing phase right now, and we anticipate then in the next 3 to 4 months to be going out for bidding and permitting and to start construction in 2018 and finish up probably early 2020. We are looking at doing the funding through donations and, you know, reaching out to the community and to different foundations to help us with funding for that new emergency room.
How big will it be when it's completed? What's going to be different from where it is now, other than you hopefully won't have patients in the hall?
It's going to be 3 times the size of the current ER, and it's going to be about 12,000 square feet.
Will you be adding any capability that you don't now have?
The capability will probably be with the equipment that we have available, especially for our trauma bays. Our trauma bays right now that we have in the current ER are very small and cramped.
You mentioned that you're bringing in a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. Is he, she already hired and arriving soon?
Yes, he's actually on island. He is from Oahu. And we've hired an APRN, a cardiac advanced practice registered nurse, and she can work independently in some of her practice areas. And then she also consults with cardiologists on Oahu. So now she'll have one right there with her in the office. And she's been with us now for 4 months seeing patients. We also have programs in place for when Dr. Moon starts.
And what is the status of oncology care at North Hawaii Community Hospital? Talk about who you have on staff or where you send patients, things like that, and what capabilities you have relative to chemotherapy or radiation.
We do have chemotherapy available. We just recently opened up a new pharmacy that has a chemotherapy mixing room with all of the hoods and the requirements for that. We had that before. This is now higher quality to meet the additional standards for mixing chemotherapy. We currently have 3 physicians that are working for us on a rotating temporary basis until January 1st, 2018. And we have an oncologist who has signed with us and will be starting permanent full-time.
Where is this person coming from?
He's actually coming from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he started an oncology program there approximately 10 years ago and started it from the ground up and was able to establish a quality program. The reason for him starting in January is because he requested 6 months to wind down his practice and make sure that his patients were taken care of, because, of course, I wanted him sooner, but he wanted to do that for his practice, so we're really looking forward to working with him.
He'll be so excited to see what January in Hawaii is like versus January in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He will not regret his decision. So you didn't mention radiation. Do you send the patients to Kona, or do you have radiation there?
They go to Kona for their radiation therapy.
Okay. So you actually do have pretty good ongoing working relationships with Kona Hospital already. What about Hilo Medical Center? Do you partner with them for anything?
We do have a Queens Healthcare Clinic in Hilo, so we do have some of our physicians going there, and so we serve that community that way. With Hilo Medical Center, it's really just working with them as far as placement of patients and who has the services that are available. They do have their inpatient psych in Hilo, so we'd send patients there. When we've had the orthopedic coverage, we did receive patients from Hilo, so we do have that relationship.
You mentioned that you do have, though, orthopedic capabilities now. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
That's going to continue. We also hired a physician that started September 1st from the mainland and has expertise in both sports medicine and doing total joints.
I thought you said in the community meeting that you had an arrangement with an orthopedic group that had five doctors in it.
That is correct. That is Island Orthopedics, and it's an orthopedic group. They have their offices at the Punch Bowl campus, and so the arrangement that we have with them is one of their physicians comes for 1 week and stays here on Island 1 week and sees the patients, does their surgery. Dr. Jason Kanashige did the first anterior hip approach at North Hawaii 2 months ago, and that meant that the patient has the surgical incision in the front of their hip instead of on the side, and the recovery is much quicker. We were able to purchase, with our affiliation with the Queens Healthcare System, a special table that he needed in order to do that. We also have a hand specialist in that group, Dr. Pereira, and she has been very popular and getting referrals from other physicians on the island.
Good. Because I know one of the issues, actually, for orthopedic folks was the whole issue of call, that we need to have somebody available 24/7. Yeah. So it sounds like you've solved that for now, at least.
Yes.
You mentioned wound care, and I'm glad you did. I was over, actually, at Kilauea Lodge, and I ran into a woman from Hilo who mentioned that her husband used to get wound care treatment at North Hawaii Community Hospital. He has diabetes, which Art, you mentioned. So you are opening a wound care clinic?
Mm-hmm. That will be in the Blockbuster space in the shopping center there with Foodland, and the Waimea Center there has just recently approved our plans. It'll be an 11 exam room clinic, six of them dedicated to orthopedics, because that is a service that is growing, and it'll have an x-ray in that clinic itself, and then five will be for our wound program.
I believe that Dr. Alistair Byros was your wound care specialist. Mm. Is he going to be coming back? Have you figured that out yet? Or is that a personnel question I shouldn't ask?
Well, he's still an active medical staff member with us at North Hawaii, and he has been involved in our wound clinic discussions.
Good. He's great.
Yes.
I like him, and he's so knowledgeable about infections. I'm sure you know he went to Haiti after they had their big earthquake. He's Dr. Infection, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
How about maternity care?
We have both our women's center. We have two permanent physicians, Dr. Dorothy Dohanty and Dr. Regina Constantini. And then we have also hired two additional midwives that help with our coverage. So we're fully staffed for coverage for our women's center now. And also then our maternity care includes our family birthing unit that I spoke about earlier.
North Hawaii has always had a pretty good reputation for maternity care. And I know a lot of folks have enjoyed going there.
Yes.
So that's good. Are you the only ones who have midwives?
I am not sure, to be honest with you. Okay. I know we have always had midwives.
Okay.
Yes.
One of the big concerns in hospitals everywhere is antibiotic-resistant infections. In fact, there's been a lot of publicity about that recently. There was a Frontline documentary, and PBS NewsHour did a whole week on the topic. Mm. How is North Hawaii Community Hospital doing relative to antibiotic-resistant infections, which are a huge problem nationwide for hospitals?
When we look at the numbers of antibiotic-resistant infections, we do see them coming in from the community. And then we treat them and isolate them and manage them appropriately. We have not had any infections that have occurred in the organization in the last year.
That's a good thing.
Yes. And we've also instituted a new program referred to as antibiotic stewardship. What that involves is the medical staff determining the right type of antibiotics for the right type of bug, per se, so that you don't over-medicate someone. Also teaching the patients about antibiotic stewardship, that just because you go to the doctors for a flu, you don't always need an antibiotic. And if you are given one, finish the course. And also how to prevent infections through good hand hygiene. So it's a comprehensive program, both for the patient and also for the inpatient care.
I think a real challenge for the medical community has been training patients that an antibiotic is not the answer for every problem. But sadly, years ago, a lot of people either talked their doctors into it or the doctors just prescribed. And I know that's what helped us get to where we are now.
Yeah.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here on the radio on Hawaii Island every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And you may listen to this and other podcasts of Island Issues interviews online, lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. We're in the middle of our second interview with folks representing North Hawaii Community Hospital, Cindy Kamakau, their CEO, and Queen's Medical Center, which owns North Hawaii. Art Ushijima, the Queen's CEO, is with us as well. And then next Sunday, we're going to start our discussion about Hilo Medical Center with their CEO, Dan Brinkman. Let's go back to the discussion with a question that relates to our doctor shortage. Physician recruitment, it sounds like you've recruited a whole lot of physicians. Are they actually employees of North Hawaii Hospital? How do you do that?
We look at what type of coverage do we need and what type of services that we're offering. So if we go to the general surgery program that we have three general surgeons. And the reason for that is each of them take 10 days of call per month. That meets our trauma criteria of having a general surgeon available 24/7. And then in addition to that, then those three surgeons also have clinic days where they can see patients who are referred to them from other physicians. That's the same complement we have for orthopedics. Our goal is to have three individuals that take that call and then also have those clinic days. And the two last physicians will be coming in January 2018. I will be fully staffed with the physician complement that we need, except for pediatricians. Yeah, I just need one more pediatrician to hire.
And these folks are employees.
All employees.
That seems to be the model that's necessary these days because it's so difficult for physicians to set up private practice.
I think there'll always be a private practice component. We're very fortunate to have a strong relationship with physicians that are in the community at Waimea. Actually, some of our pediatricians who are in their private practice help us with our call coverage. So we're very fortunate to have them as part of our community, too.
Clearly, running a hospital, running a medical practice is not an easy thing. Given the current financial pressures, the insurers, the federal government not fully covering costs as they used to, reimbursements for our island are definitely low. And I don't see from the federal perspective that even our dedicated Congress people are going to be able to get that to change anytime soon. What more needs to happen for North Hawaii Community Hospital to thrive in the future?
Well, first of all, you know, Cindy's concentrating on improving the operations and running efficiently as possible. There's always going to be a role for philanthropy, and so one of the things that we mentioned earlier is that we're going to construct the new emergency room expansion, and we're seeking philanthropic support. That won't solve all the needs, but I think what we have to do is just rethink how we deliver care. How do we intervene early enough? Because you're right, we are not expecting the reimbursements are going to improve significantly. And we're going to have to work on intervening much earlier. There are a lot of problems where you can intervene early. We talked about diabetes as one. And we sort of make light in the past of hand hygiene. But what we're finding is that you can deal with prevention of infections just by proper hand hygiene. So there are a lot of things that we're learning today that we can apply in the future as well as today in terms of just improving how we can impact care. I think also we have to look at how we provide care given that we may need to expand, for example, use of advanced practice nurses because there are not going to be enough physicians. So we have to look at other types of personnel or expansion of roles of providers. There's an array of things that we have to work on and deal with. None of these things are going to happen overnight, and it will take incremental efforts over time by which we can transform the delivery system. All of us who've worked in healthcare, certainly for a long time, know that the past model, the model that we've been accustomed to and how we provide care isn't necessarily going to be the model of the future. And we have to really create a new paradigm by which we are going to have to deliver care. And so we're all working on that. And there are all kinds of experiments that are going on throughout the country.
Obviously, the employees at North Hawaii Community Hospital, who get really high ratings from everybody, doctors have told me that the rest of the staff members are fabulous and patients have a lot of praise. You know, everybody has some bad things that happen in their life, but in general, I've just heard nothing but good really about our three hospitals. But how can you, or do you want to have more employee participation in coming up with suggestions? I know that change is very hard for everybody, and what you talked about, Art, I mean, the change is hard for patients, the change is hard on the medical professionals, the change is hard everywhere. Is there a way to have more discussions such as you had at Waimea Community Association? That would be for the public, but even internally, to get people's input without having them feel like their input either is not wanted or that they will be penalized if they come up with ideas.
Yeah, employee input and engagement is critical for our success. I speak about that at North Hawaii and have deployed three strategies to engage with the employees. One is doing rounds and, you know, just checking in with them in their work environment and, you know, how's their day going? Is there any concerns that they have? Is there equipment or services that they need in order to provide care for their patient? Also hold employee forums, and that is an opportunity for me to provide them with updates and to also offer them the opportunity to ask questions. And also started going to departments and having department meetings with them. Found that to actually be the most valuable. They felt comfortable in their peers with their smaller groups asking me very specific questions, and also helping them being part of the problem solving. In one of our units, our census was low for a period of time, and so we actually set up an employee task force to look at what are some options that we can do and how can we manage these kind of highs and lows that we have.
I think the employee input as well as physician input, but certainly you can engage employees in really looking at the operational impacts because they deal with the frontline issues on a day-to-day basis. When you're looking to make systemic changes and structural changes that really are industry-wide, that takes more collaboration with other providers because you have to assess on a more global basis the services that are provided in the community by different providers, which means you have to engage other providers, insurers, in discussions along with the physicians. So internally, you know, we have employee forums, as Cindy talked about. We have a suggestion program, which we solicit input. And those really help to make operational changes and improvements. On a more global basis, when we work with creating a physician network, now we're dealing with physician practices, insurers, and again, that takes collaborative efforts among the different groups. And the structural changes are occurring, and they take time as we come up with different ideas of how we're going to work with parties that historically have not worked closely together. So we've created a physician network with HMSA being a partner. We've worked with other providers in specific initiatives. We've developed, for example, a stroke program that is our network, the trauma network. These are all engaged other providers. And with the goal, right, of first providing the best care possible, the most efficient care possible, but also how do we do it more cost effectively. There's only one really major trauma center for the state of Hawaii, the Queens Medical Center in Honolulu. But we work collaboratively with everyone else just so that we can have the resources where they need to be for the patient at the time that they need it.
What else would you two like to add that we haven't already talked about?
You know, you've covered a range of things and with many issues. And certainly the challenge, as we just talked about, is how do you make really significant systemic changes? And unfortunately, I have yet to see the holy grail or the silver bullet by which we can make these changes, right? And it does take communication and collaboration and identifying key problem issues and getting interested stakeholders. It's how do you create the right process? And it's not really that simple, right? Especially as you have to deal with legislative changes and regulatory changes. One of the things that we haven't talked about, and I don't know if it's not necessarily the biggest issue in North Hawaii, but certainly on Oahu, but growing statewide, is the problem of homelessness and the issue around how do we deal with that, because that category of our population, when they do require hospital care, it's quite extensive. So we're working on initiatives just because healthcare touches so many aspects of our lives. you can't just simply intervene at one level, and you have to look at the problems on a systemic basis. If we just look at acute care, we're not going to solve the healthcare issue. We have to look at what are the fundamental causes that drive the demand for services along with their costs. Homelessness is a significant issue for us at Queens. It's a $10.5 million problem that we face every year. But it's also 64% of the homeless care in hospitals in the state we provide.
And you probably do a lot of it through your emergency room, which is the most expensive way to get it.
And certainly the emergency room is really the door in which most of these patients come to the hospital. But by the time they get to the hospital, their conditions are such that most of them have to be admitted, or they come back. You know, there are many patients who have come back 200 or 300 times a year through the emergency room. But it's the fundamental problem of dealing with the homeless issue. So we're working on that and involving actually a group of stakeholders who have an interest, from the legislature to Senator Green, the mayor in the city and county of Honolulu. We have private individuals, developers, business people, as well as the government, all involved in this, in trying to come up with some solutions. And I think we're making some progress, although, again, it never comes fast enough.
Well, you know, you talk about homelessness and that some individuals come in 200 or 300 times a year. As I understand the health insurance system, the hospital will get penalized for what are called readmits. And it sounds like because homeless people don't typically go to a home, they don't go where they have good care, they don't go where maybe they have good hygiene or good follow-up, they're going to be readmits. And there's really not a way to address that easily.
Generally, the homeless admissions are longer lengths of stay. When I say 200 to 300 times, that's an emergency room visit, so it's an outpatient visit. But if they do need to be admitted for a medical condition, it could be a number of things, they generally stay for a longer length of stay. Now, we also have a program that we started with the Institute for Human Services on Oahu that deals with the homeless population. And we created an initiative called Tutu Birds, where a patient who no longer needs acute care is a homeless patient. But we work with IHS. We provide the funding for support as a transitional stage until they can get better and then in turn leave. So it's a way of dealing with preventing readmissions, managing their care post-acute, and then getting them back to normal as quickly as possible. It's not a permanent solution. It's a decent Band-Aid, because ultimately you have to have housing. There's a study by the University of Hawaii, and it's a national study, and it says the number one reason for acute care utilization or hospitalization among the homeless is the high cost of housing. So housing is really the key determinant, you know, what's called the social determinants of health, and housing is one of the top ones. If we can provide housing, you can minimize the use of hospitals.
Nationwide, they've determined that housing first is a good thing, but I never realized that it also relates to the healthcare aspect. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. Now, Cindy, how much of the homeless population do you actually see at North Hawaii Community Hospital?
We do see some homeless population. There are some in our community, and our ER physicians and staff are familiar with them. I don't know the exact numbers, but they are part of our population.
I would imagine there are more in Kona Hospital and in Hilo Medical Center than in North Hawaii. That would just be my sense. I have no basis for saying that. The County of Hawaii Fire Chief Darren Rosario told me has started a program where they are beginning to themselves deal with what they call their frequent flyers, people who will call 911 repeatedly for their essentially primary care service, and then they get taken to one of the hospitals. So they're trying to do some proactive visiting of those people because they know who the people are. So that should be also a small, as you say, art Band-Aid, a step towards addressing the problem. If you can keep them out of the 911 system, out of the emergency room, because emergency room care is the most expensive.
Right. The homeless issue has really become a very significant challenge for the community. I don't think there's an exact number or headcount of the number of homeless in the state, but the range is somewhere between 9,000 and 15,000. And on Oahu, we think there's about 8,000 homeless. But there are a number of really innovative initiatives. One that I'm intrigued by and watching very carefully is led by a businessman, Dwayne Carice, who actually came from the Big Island and grew up in Hilo. But he's working on a homeless initiative not too far from the airport. He's calling it a village to house 2,500 homeless. But it's not just simply to provide housing, right? It's to provide affordable housing, provide employment. It's working with employers in the nearby area who have agreed to hire them. providing child care services, and getting these recycled shelters from the Japan tsunami, 1 and 2 bedroom units, and providing them a nominal rent. So there will be a village that will house the homeless. They'll give them jobs. They'll get them back on their feet and hopefully get them even back into the community. What we've learned as part of this project is that 6 months is the tipping point for homelessness, meaning that if you can intervene 6 months after an individual becomes homeless, you can get them turned around. But once they go past the 6 months, they get into another pattern, whether it's substance abuse or things like that, that could change their pattern of life. So what Duane is doing, what Mr. Carisa is doing, is really creating this village, providing housing, and for those who can work. And he's working with IHS to screen these potential residents so that they can, in fact, work and then eventually go back into a more normal life. So that's one group, and 2,500 individuals, including children. There's another group Senator Green calls the Ground Zero population. They're the hardcore who have significant problems with substance abuse and mental health problems. So we're working with the city to create what is called H4, hygiene, health care, housing, and humanitarian, meaning being that way to the individuals. And there's a building that the city has acquired to provide those services and really to deal with the chronic homeless individuals who have the substance abuse and the behavioral problems and to try to get them back on their feet eventually. But that's going to be the more challenging population. Anthony Alto, who did the documentary on homelessness, he indicated that in Hawaii today, there are about 200,000 people who are one paycheck away from being homeless. And so the housing issue is a really significant one. And there are certainly projects to build affordable housing. But if we don't deal with that, eventually they translate themselves into high utilization for healthcare services. So, you know, healthcare touches everything, but it's typically not the front end of the problem. Healthcare really is on the back end and certainly the most expensive end. I'm talking about hospital care. It's the most expensive end of the healthcare spectrum.
One thing I've seen here on Hawaii Island, as you may know, Mayor Harry Kim decided he wanted to restore Old Airport Park to being more of a community park, and it had become sort of a haven for homeless. They got people to move out of Old Airport. They're trying to find them temporary housing. But there's that group who essentially has been living outdoors. But one thing I discovered in that whole process, there's a whole other group of homeless that we have here, people who actually do have jobs, but they cannot afford housing, and they live in their cars. One of the police officers actually opened my eyes to this, that at places like Kmart and Walmart, there will be cars parked at night, families sometimes, and those folks are already contributing members of society. They have jobs, but they don't have a house. I don't know if Duane Carrizo's project is addressing those people.
Yeah, I believe that that category of individuals will probably fit within the criteria that they're developing for that village. Because the housing cost for the rentals is somewhere between $500 and $600 a month for a one-bedroom, and then another $600 or $700 for a two-bedroom unit. So that falls within the affordable rental category. He's also worked out with United Laundry on Oahu to provide jobs for these individuals. So there are ways of dealing with that, but you know, we need to get housing at a level that people can afford.
One of the things about the state's projection that Hawaii Island will move from around 200,000 people today to almost 300,000 people in 23 years, my question is, where are they going to live? We have people now who can't find housing or can't find affordable housing. And a lot of times they're people who do work. They have an actual job that pays them what, when I got out of college, could have afforded me an apartment, but cannot now.
Yeah, I think certainly one of the solutions is that developers must be given financial incentives by which to develop housing that people can afford. I believe the Parker Ranch is working in North Hawaii on proposals from developers to build affordable housing on some of their lands. So there are ways in which you can provide that and incentives, but it takes public and private partnerships in order to make these things available, because private developers can't do it alone, neither can the government.
And that's what Duane Carrizo is doing, as I understand it. It's a public-private partnership, and I applaud him. I think his approach is brilliant, and I hope to see similar things here on Hawaii Island. Cindy, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered the areas about North Hawaii. I feel very privileged to be part of that organization and know that it can achieve great things for the island and for the people and to serve our mission. So.
Thank you so much, Art Ushijima and Cindy Kamakawa, for being with us today to talk about North Hawaii Community Hospital, Queens, and all the other things we talked about. Thank you so much to both of you.
Mahalo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Sherry Bracken. This is Island Issues. I will see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.